The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition. Hope you guys in Portland, Oregon. Now, I keep saying hello to everybody in Portland because Kathy and I lived down there for 31 years in that area. And I got to tell you, it's a great city, and we hope you're all enjoying the show. It's been carried down there now on KUIK, if I'm not mistaken, for about 6 or 7 months. So hope you're enjoying the show. I got my start at KUIK about 15, 20 years ago. So anyway, here we are. We're chatting with David Morgan. Dave, you made a comment last week that drew a lot of attention on our website when you said basically at these levels of silver prices, and as we're recording this, silver's in the $17 range, you said you better buy now because you won't be able to get it, or something to the effect of you really ought to buy it now because you probably will not be able to get it at these prices. And the comment that I made to that was, David's really going out on a limb, and I mean that in a very positive sense. I got a lot of respect for you. I've only known you for about 20 years, and you are the silver guru in the world, in my opinion. What I meant specifically by that comment is that's a pretty gutsy call. Tell us your rationale behind that, would you?
Yeah, it's taken somewhat out of context, and perhaps I wasn't that clear. I tried to be, and what I was pointing out was that how markets move, and that a naive investor or a newbie looks at, for example, a stock, and they'll look at the 52 range. And if we're especially looking at the microcap stocks, which many of your listeners are in these microcaps, they'll see that the stock price for the year range might be, as an example, 2 cents to 12 cents. So that's a six bagger. And they think, well, geez, I could have bought, you know, all of this stock at 2 cents and sold all of that stock at 12 cents. But that's not correct, because markets move on the bid ask. They move on what the demand is, like anything else. And so there might only be offered 400 shares at 2 cents, yet it prints there. It's a fact that it sold for 2 cents, but there was only 400 shares available at that price. And then the next offer was at 3 cents or 4 cents. And so I was pointing out the amount of silver at under 18 is limited, but I wasn't trying to say that it was so limited that you wouldn't ever be able to get it. And what I really went on to say within the context that was somewhat missed, and perhaps I wasn't very clear, so let me apologize to everybody publicly, was you wouldn't be able to buy a lot of silver at that level. Meaning specifically that if Sprott Asset Management, PSLV, or the Central Fund of Canada, or the Zurich Continental Bank put in an offer for 25 million ounces of physical silver, I would have my doubts that that order would be filled under 18. Could be. I don't know. What I'm suggesting is, like all markets, silver is no different. There isn't that big a supply. There isn't an infinite supply. There's a limited supply at that price level, and only the market knows how much is available. But as far as the retail investor is concerned, let me be crystal clear. You should be buying at this level and continue to buy and plan to buy for, I don't know, weeks or months. I think it's probably more like weeks, and the reason I say that is, even though I was wrong at calling the bottom, and I'll state that for everyone, I thought that the 18-17 intraday low 14 months ago would hold, and I was right for 14 months until I was wrong last Friday. Right now, the next support level is 17.50. There's a lot of support there, but that doesn't mean that it's going to hold. I think it will, but it doesn't necessarily mean so. So the way to plan it is to buy it under the cost of production. Just got off the mastermind call this morning with Ned Naylor-Leland in London. And I had on other guests, Chris Duane from Silver Shield, Andy Hoffman from Miles Franklin, and Terry Ferguson from TF Metal. So it was the four of us and Ned. this is quite a round robin about the silver market. And our work shows using primary silver producers only, not looking at the base metal producers, which make up 70% of the market. You only look at the primary silver producers where silver mining is their business. The true cost of sustaining an all-in cost is somewhere around $22 an ounce. So if you can buy as an investor at 18, then you're doing quite well. You're doing better than a primary silver producer is. So does that mean you've got a two-day window? No. It means you probably have a limited window, and how limited I really don't know. So hopefully that clears it up. It was somewhat taken out of context. I wasn't implying that retail market can't come in and buy it or you've only got a, you know, a few days or something to that effect. That's not what I meant. What I meant is I'd love to see size order come in at these levels and see how the market responded. My best feeling / studied view is that there isn't a whole lot of, you know, $18 silver out there. And I'd love to see someone come in. Unfortunately, these bottoms sometimes last longer than you might expect because there isn't a big, you know, purchase. These funds, such as Central Fund of Canada, the PSLV, et al., require that there's a premium in their fund before they can go to the dealer network, put in a large order, and make that happen. So even though PSLV, last time I checked, was at a slight premium, it's probably not there long enough. And then they got to put it out in the public domain and say they made an offering and they're going to put, you know, $500 million in the silver market and how many people want to participate. And quite frankly, these markets sentiment is probably the worst I've seen in years. And even though it's the time to buy, there aren't many out there with the sentiment that say, geez, it's a great buying opportunity. The sentiment is just the opposite. It's like, geez, I wish I'd never heard of David Morgan or the Corlin Report or any of this stuff. I'm trying to be a little bit humorous here. You've got to be. And they've just given up, a lot of people. And the people that, you know, could make things happen are just kind of sitting on the sidelines currently.
David, sticking to kind of the supply and demand of silver, I find it very interesting for a precious metal because it's very much unlike gold, where a lot of silver is actually used as a percentage of what's taken out of the ground. So you're absolutely correct that if a big order comes in to purchase this silver, I don't think it's there. And we can even see that by some of the storage houses in China, where China, I believe, has 50-something storage units for gold, but only two for silver. I think that just lends to showing how much the flow of silver continues simply because of its industrial uses. And a question that I wanted to ask you is simply, do you think that because it's being viewed so much as an industrial metal recently that this is hurting the silver price and maybe will continue to hurt it, or do you see this shifting in some term?
Of course, I totally agree with you. And I agree with what you just said. So just to reiterate it, I think at the current time, it's more industrial based. It's looked as a base metal. The monetary aspect is only viewed by the hardcore silver stacking community, which is extremely small. It's a subset within a set. And that trigger point, wherever it is, it'll probably be led by gold, will happen due to whatever. And there's all kinds of geopolitical reasons right now why gold should be going much higher, but it's not. So there'll be something that triggers the mindset of the hedge fund community, the general population, a nation state, I don't know who, that will probably take gold higher. And then silver will latch on to that monetary aspect that coincides with gold. And there are people saying, oh, geez, silver is the place to be. But right now, again, to reiterate once more, the sentiment is very, very poor. And it's typical. When I started the website, you know, silver was at an inflation-adjusted all-time low. It was lower in inflation-adjusted terms than it was in the Great Depression. You could not buy it cheaper ever, and yet no one wanted it at that price. And here we are very close in real terms relative to what the cost of production is in an inflation-adjusted price. It's not an all-time low, but it's very low, and no one wants it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it from our friend David Morgan. Hey, listen, check out his site, www.silver-investor.com. Easy way to get to that is simply go to our favorite site section, click on the banner for Silver Investor, or click on David's picture, and it'll take you right to it. This guy is serious, and this guy knows what he's talking about. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Corey and I are chatting with Jeff Deist right now, president of the Mises Institute. You know, Jeff and I and Corey are all very avid golfers. Corey clearly the most expertise, given the fact that given the fact that he got a scholarship to a 4-year university called St. Andrews for golf. But having said that, you know, we got the Ryder Cup going on in Scotland right now, Jeff. The Scottish vote I thought was a rather interesting situation, got turned down. But you indicated when we were were chatting off mic that you felt that there were some very interesting implications to that. What would those be?
Well, yes, there's a lot of implications that you can take from it, and very few of them have anything to do with the actual on-the-ground politics of the vote itself. And what I mean by that is that if the Scots had voted in favor of the independence referendum, they may well have found themselves down the road less free than they are currently dealing with Westminster and dealing with the UK in general. And that's simply because most of the people, not all, but most of the people behind the Yes movement were, in fact, very left-wing, very socialist, and much more aligned with the Euros in Brussels than they are with the Tories and the UKIP folks in London, both of whom they hate. So it wasn't a vote about freedom. It wasn't a vote about liberty. There was nothing about William Wallace or Robert the Bruce in this vote. It was simply a vote to decide whether they would be somewhat under the yoke of Westminster or whether they would be somewhat under the yoke of Brussels. So, you know, from a libertarian perspective, there's really not a lot to be said. But if you sort of pan back and take a bigger picture, I think it's very, very interesting that first and foremost, about 70% of younger folks in Scotland voted in favor of secession. About 70% of older folks voted against. So I think that's a very interesting demographic fact, and it goes a lot to sort of the welfare and pension payments that are made to older folks from London. There's also an interesting point about secession generally. I mean, that's been a hotly debated topic in the United States since the Civil War, and it remains a hotly debated topic throughout much of Europe. There are huge, vast secession movements all around Europe. And it remains to be seen whether the Scottish vote will be a blow to those movements or whether it'll just intensify then. But from my perspective, I always like to see elites challenged. I like the fact that people like Hillary Clinton and Goldman Sachs and Barack Obama and the awful David Cameron and the awful Gordon Brown in England were very nervous about this. I like the fact that there was an opportunity to take the governance of a large group of people and split it up. In other words, to have two smaller and thus weaker governments from my perspective. But what I really like about it from a libertarian perspective is that now that the vote's done, there's a whole bunch of Scots, including a large majority of younger Scots, saying, well, why should we not get what we want simply because of a majority vote? So anytime majoritarianism in the sense of a democratic vote is discussed or debated or challenged in this case, I think that's a huge win for liberty, because as libertarians, we know that there's no morality or legitimacy to a 51% of the electorate majority in a vote. I mean, that's absurd. And I really like, from a sort of a philosophical perspective, that people are talking about this, that they're considering, hey, you know what? Maybe just having a majority vote doesn't make something legitimate. Maybe there's something more to this. And I think that's a point that libertarians have been making for a long time.
Jeff, I followed this vote quite closely just because I was curious to see how it would all play out, not only from the economic standpoint, because that to me is fascinating, depending on whether the Scots were going to stay with the pound or whether they were going to move into the euro. It was kind of up in the air there for a little bit. But also from the aspect that I live in Canada, and we already have had one vote coming from Quebec quite a few years ago now that failed, and they were not able to separate. But I felt like if that vote in Scotland went through, then Quebec would go back into it. And it has been a continuing trend, not only, well, I guess over in Scotland and here, but also in Europe. We've seen countries leaning towards, or at least floating, the idea of separation. And as you said, this is good to challenge these bigger powers of government, just to kind of keep them on their toes on that sense. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't seen any of these votes go through. Do you think this is going to change anytime soon?
Well, I do know that the powers that be and global elites will fight these votes tooth and nail, because if there's one thing they hate, it's decentralization. They hate any devolution of power. You know, status and the political class in the United States, for example, they want everything to be decided in Washington. And better than that, they'd like everything to be decided in New York at the UN, or better than that, by the IMF or the WTO. And you've got the same forces at work in Europe wanting everything to be decided in Brussels. But there is an interesting analogy here. You know, Quebec really is sort of the Scotland of Canada, because both Scotland and Quebec both share the fact that they're sort of a net welfare recipient and thus a drag on the greater unions to which they're a part of. I'm sure certain Scots and certain Quebecois would dispute that, but I think it's a fact. You know, it's really interesting that no matter what governments do, there's this sort of underlying human nature here where people want to make decisions for themselves. And decentralization is, I think, really at the heart of what is happening around the world, which is kind of a bottom-up revolution. And I certainly hope it continues.
You know, I think it will, and I say that for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is young people, I believe, are getting a bit more sophisticated, perhaps, than they have been in the past. Our quality of education, and I know a lot of people may disagree with this, but our quality of education, you know, continues to improve. And primarily, I think, because more parents are taking advantage of private schools and charter schools. But be that as it may, I think that is a very interesting point that you guys are bringing up. It does strike me that the vote in Scotland, regardless of the outcome, really is a real pat on the back and a form of agreement to what you guys teach at the Mises Institute, Jeff. We got about a minute left. Why don't you wrap it up for us?
Well, it's interesting that the people who are most in favor of democracy and democratic votes tend to be the people who are also most opposed to decentralization, the people who favor super states of a sort. So I think this is something that anyone who's liberty-minded needs to fear and needs to oppose. And hopefully the Scottish secession vote is going to be a wake-up call to people who are interested in breaking away from central states, as opposed to a victory for the globalists, since the secession vote did not carry the day.
Then that is the end thing. That is the end takeaway, I would say, is that the secessionist vote did not pass, and it seems like the big powers kind of won that round again. Who knows when we're going to see another vote of that nature? I think sooner rather than later. I think that this is a continuing trend that we are going down. Jeff, always appreciate chatting with you. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with our expert panel.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN. Is your money manager giving you safety and security? Wouldn't you like to make your money work harder for you? Then you should consider joining PhilsGang.com, where thousands of individual investors have successfully profited.
This year I'm up 60% on my portfolio. Following your system has been fantastic. I've been with you for about a month and a half now, and I'm already up 7%.
I've been in the business for a long time, and you're really one of the best I've ever heard.
Well, I just want to let you know what a great teacher you are.
For over a decade, PhilsGang.com's Phil Grandy and Donald Cogswell have been teaching, coaching, and investing right along with all Phil's Gang members.
I want to thank Donnie for Market Wrap. So I bought 2,500 shares of AUI and sold it this morning at $820 profit.
Why not join thousands of satisfied Phil's Gang customers today? Go to PhilsGang.com, PhilsGang.com, or call 877-600-4264. That's 877-600-4264. Call today.
Hello, it's Tom Chenault from The Tom Chenault Show. We are experts in home-based business and residual income. We show people how to make money from their home, either part-time or full-time. And in partnership with Genesis Communication Network, we've organized a team to fight back about people not having money, time, or health. And we need your help. What we want you to do is, if you've got an interest in building an organization to fight back against people taking our money, taking our time, and taking our help, we want to talk to you. All you need to do is call this number, 855-855-855. 855-308-8326. Again, all you want to do is call 855-308-8326. You can make a tremendous amount of money and end up fighting for a great cause. Please call us right now.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Corey and I are chatting with Jeff Deist right now, president of the Mises Institute. You know, Jeff and I and Corey are all very avid golfers. Corey, clearly the most expertise, given the fact that given the fact that he got a scholarship to a 4-year university called St. Andrews for golf. But having said that, you know, we got the Ryder Cup going on in Scotland right now, Jeff. The Scottish vote, I thought, was a rather interesting situation. Got turned down, but you indicated when we were chatting off mic that you felt that there were some very interesting implications to that. What would those be?
Well, yes, there's a lot of implications that you can take from it, and very few of them have anything to do with the actual on-the-ground politics of the vote itself. And what I mean by that is that if the Scots had voted in favor of the independence referendum, they may well have found themselves down the road less free than they are currently dealing with Westminster and dealing with the UK in general. And that's simply because most of the people, not all, but most of the people behind the yes movement were, in fact, very left-wing, very socialist, and much more aligned with the Euros in Brussels than they are with the Tories and the UKIP folks in London, both of whom they hate. So it wasn't a vote about freedom. It wasn't a vote about liberty. There was nothing about William Wallace or Robert the Bruce in this vote. It was simply a vote to decide whether they would be somewhat under the yoke of Westminster or whether they would be somewhat under the yoke of Brussels. So, you know, from a libertarian perspective, there's really not a lot to be said. But if you sort of pan back and take a bigger picture, I think it's very, very interesting that first and foremost, about 70% of younger folks in Scotland voted in favor of secession, about 70% of older folks voted against. So I think that's a very interesting demographic fact, and it goes a lot to sort of the welfare and pension payments that are made to older folks from London. There's also an interesting point about secession generally. I mean, that's been a hotly debated topic in the United States since the Civil War, and it remains a hotly debated topic throughout much of Europe. There are huge, vast secession movements all around Europe, and it remains to be seen whether the Scottish vote will be a blow to those movements or whether it'll just intensify then. But from my perspective, I always like to see elites challenged. I like the fact that people like Hillary Clinton and Goldman Sachs and Barack Obama and the awful David Cameron and the awful Gordon Brown in England were very nervous about this. I like the fact that there was an opportunity to take the governance of a large group of people and split it up. In other words, to have two smaller and thus weaker governments from my perspective. But what I really like about it from a libertarian perspective is that now that the vote's done, there's a whole bunch of Scots, including a large majority of younger Scots, saying, well, why should we not get what we want simply because of a majority vote? So anytime majoritarianism in the sense of a democratic vote is discussed or debated or challenged, in this case, I think that's a huge win for liberty, because as libertarians, we know that there's no morality or legitimacy to a 51% of the electorate majority in a vote. I mean, that's absurd. And I really like, from a sort of a philosophical perspective, that people are talking about this, that they're considering, hey, you know what? Maybe just having a majority vote doesn't make something legitimate. Maybe there's something more to this. And I think that's a point that libertarians have been making for a long time.
Jeff, I followed this vote quite closely just because I was curious to see how it would all play out, not only from the economic standpoint, because that to me is fascinating, depending on whether the Scots were going to stay with the pound or whether they were going to move into the euro. It was kind of up in the air there for a little bit, but also from the aspect that I live in Canada, and we already have had one vote coming from Quebec quite a few years ago now that failed, and they were not able to separate. But I felt like if that vote in Scotland went through, then Quebec would go back into it. And it has been a continuing trend, not only, well, I guess over in Scotland and here, but also in Europe. We've seen countries leaning towards, or at least floating, the idea of separation. And as you said, this is good to challenge these bigger powers of government, just to kind of keep them on their toes on that sense. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't seen any of these votes go through. Do you think this is going to change anytime soon?
Well, I do know that the powers that be and global elites will fight these votes tooth and nail, because if there's one thing they hate, it's decentralization. They hate any devolution of power. Status and the political class in the United States, for example, they want everything to be decided in Washington. And better than that, they'd like everything to be decided in New York at the UN, or better than that, by the IMF or the WTO. And you've got the same forces at work in Europe wanting everything to be decided in Brussels. But there is an interesting analogy here. You know, Quebec really is sort of the Scotland of Canada, because both Scotland and Quebec both share the fact that they're sort of a net welfare recipient and thus a drag on the greater unions to which they're a part of. I'm sure certain Scots and certain Quebecois would dispute that, but I think it's a fact. You know, it's really interesting that no matter what governments do, there's this sort of underlying human nature here where people want to make decisions for themselves. And decentralization is, I think, really at the heart of what is happening around the world, which is kind of a bottom-up revolution. And I certainly hope it continues.
You know, I think it will, and I say that for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is young people, I believe, are getting a bit more sophisticated, perhaps, than they have been in the past. Our quality of education, and I know a lot of people may disagree with this, but our quality of education, you know, continues to improve. And primarily, I think, because more parents are taking advantage of private schools and charter schools. But be that as it may, I think that is a very interesting point that you guys are bringing up. It does strike me that the vote in Scotland, regardless of the outcome, really is a real pat on the back and a form of agreement to what you guys teach at the Mises Institute, Jeff. We got about a minute left. Why don't you wrap it up for us?
Well, it's interesting that the people who are most in favor of democracy and democratic votes tend to be the people who are also most opposed to decentralization, the people who favor super states of a sort. So I think this is something that anyone who's liberty-minded needs to fear and needs to oppose. And hopefully the Scottish secession vote is going to be a wake-up call to people who are interested in breaking away from central states as opposed to a victory for the globalists, since the secession vote did not carry the day.
Then that is the end thing. That is the end takeaway, I would say, is that the secessionist vote did not pass, and it seems like the big powers kind of won that round again. Who knows when we're going to see another vote of that nature? I think sooner rather than later. I think that this is a continuing trend that we are going down. Jeff, always appreciate chatting with you. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with our expert panel.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you.
Leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you. ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Okay, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition. Corey and I are chatting with, people put this guy who's selling Dos Equis beer as the most interesting man in the world. He might be the second most interesting man in the world. Bob Moriarty, in our opinion, is the most interesting man in the world. A couple of subjects that we're going to discuss with Bob right now. The first one has to do with the Middle East, okay? And here's my question, and again, this is Bob's opinion, and a lot of things that Bob says, perhaps all of them, I would have to say that I would agree with. Can't speak for Corey, but I think you'll weigh in on this. But, Bob, I wonder why the United States right now is the only country of any consequence that is as incredibly militarily active in the Middle East. The leader of Iraq came out, if I'm not mistaken, on Thursday and said the West is really responsible for some of the crap that's going on in the Middle East. The West is responsible for the rise of ISIS, etc. I think that's an interesting comment. Dr. Ron Paul, who I consider to be one of the most intelligent people in the political sphere, has been saying that for years and years. What does Bob Moriarty say about that?
Well, beyond any question, we went over to the Middle East and we swatted a hornet's nest, and much to our great surprise, it pissed the hornets off and we got stung. Obama was smart enough to bail out of Iraq, and, you know, we left with our tail between our legs. There's something going on, and I can't quite figure out whose agenda it is. First of all, I think the whole ISIS thing is a false flag. If you look at those so-called beheadings, first of all, you don't see a beheading, okay? You see a guy talking and he's got the knife to a throat of a hostage, but you don't actually see any blood and you don't see anybody's throat cut. So we're told, well, it's too graphic. You know, you really should see that kind of stuff. Take our word that it happened. Well, take our word that it happened has always been the mark of a liar. I don't think it took place. If you look at the people, those are not people who knew they were about to die. It's that simple. One of the videos was released by a Mossad agent in Syria, and I'm sitting here going, why don't you make it really obvious as to what's going on? Why don't you just tell us this is a false flag operation and we're trying to fool you and you're so stupid that you'll believe this? This is a backdoor attack on Syria. We're not even attacking ISIS in Iraq. We were told not to attack Iraq by the president of Iraq. We were told not to attack Syria by the president of Syria. And we are attacking Syria. This is a backdoor attack. Now, the problem in Syria is because the United States, Saudi Arabia, and England, France, and Israel, and Turkey have been sponsoring the terrorists for years. So we have this bizarre situation where American pilots who cost $10 to $20 million to put them in the front seat of an F-18, flying F-18s that cost $50 million apiece, dropping 28,000 pound or $28,000 JDAM bombs on American Humvees to kill some guy that we've been giving him his paycheck. We're literally attacking ourselves. But I think it's a symptom. The United States has literally lost it. It's end of empire. They don't know what to do. We know the economy is about to collapse. So let's divert the attention of the proletariat to something really stupid. But I can say, and I'm a guy who was an F-4 pilot who spent 2 years in combat, you don't accomplish anything by bombing people other than pissing them off. We did study after study after study after World War II, and the bombing campaigns of the British and the Americans simply did nothing to advance our military interests. It pissed the people off, and it made them dig in and resist us more. The war would have been shorter if we didn't bomb the crap out of Germany.
Bob, I am on board with the thinking, and I'm very skeptical about these beheadings that have been released over the last little while. And actually, a lot of the stuff that I've read, actually, there seem to be a lot of people that are skeptical about this. But now let's talk about some of these wholesale killings that are done by these ISIS troops. You have comments on those?
I think those are real. We have encouraged every religious nutcase in the universe, and that goes from the evangelical Christians to the Zionists, to the Muslim extremists who are Shiites, to the Muslim extremists who are Sunnis. We got the Buddhists in there. We got Tao. We got everybody. We have encouraged every religious nutcase to go out and see how stupid he could be. And I think there have been a lot of mass murders. And I think the United States deserves a lot of credit for doing that. The Ukraine, I mean, there are mass murders that are turning up in Ukraine now. And we were the guys who spent $5 billion destabilizing Ukraine. When you destabilize a country, it's like you swatted a hornet's nest. Don't be surprised if the hornets sting you. But yes, there are some ugly things going on in the Middle East.
And that's the issue that I have right now, is that yes, there is ugly stuff going on in the Middle East, but do you think that it will ever calm down, whether the U.S. is in there or not?
Well, it was calm until we went in there. What was the movie about Afghanistan? Charlie Wilson's War. Did you ever watch Charlie Wilson's War? Read the book.
Yeah, I saw the movie. I thought it was a pretty good movie. It's Bob. I think what I would have to say at this moment in time is, I'm not the student, perhaps, of military history that you are, and I was never in the intelligence of the armed services as you were. I have to plead ignorance here, and I have to say I just don't understand what's going on. I mean, it is nobody could make a movie that was quite as sophisticated as I think what's going on over there right now. I mean, we're not the only people who are saying, gee, we're not really sure that those beheadings actually even occurred. I mean, there are people in government who we've had on the show who have said that.
Let me prove to you how stupid we are today. You know that Obama just spoke in front of the UN 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay. One of his best quotes was, "We believe bigger nations should not be able to bully smaller ones. Now, if you were to take a look at the two Bush administrations and the two Obama administrations, all we have had for 16 years is the United States bullying small nations, okay? We started it. We did it. And we need to stop doing it. We have no interest there. We have no interest in Syria. We have no interest in Iraq. I don't care if Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. He was our bad guy. We trained him. We paid him. He was a spy. He was an assassin for the CIA. The Iraqis didn't do anything to the United States. Syria didn't do anything to the United States. Syria, certainly, we have no interest there. And we keep paying for terrorists, and then we're shocked when they do terrible things.
You know, Corey, I got to tell you, I've known Bob for an awful long time, and Bob has some ideas that aren't exactly what I would call mainstream, but that's not to say that they're not right. This man's background is meaningful, to say the least. He was in intelligence in the military. He was a jet pilot during the Vietnam conflict. He's highly educated. He's a highly successful man. Travels the world to this day consistently, and I don't take what he says lightly. I know that some of the people might think that some of his views and some of our views, as we just expressed, might be a little bit out there, to say the least, but I would remind people that Glenn Downs, who is Congressman Walter Jones's chief of staff, said the same thing. Jeff Deist, who was certainly no neophyte when it comes to politics, has said the same thing. So all I'm saying, Corey, and to our listeners, is, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to everybody and you believe whatever you want to. Thanks for listening.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.